please consider calling into the show today. We have a number of hot topics, and your voice needs to be heard. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is your opportunity to make sure your opinion is heard over the noise of the media. James T. Deshaies is committed to bringing the voice of the people to the world stage. He'll select topics, but your voice will be the focus. So take time to spend with him and inform the world of your views. We can no longer sit back and let others tell us what to think. The cost of being a silent majority is too great, and too many lives are being destroyed. The leaders around the world need to be put on notice that their jobs and careers depend on how well they listen. Call in on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 657-383-0309, or Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 347-855-8867, or Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 657-383-0309. Why don't you add Thoughts, Love, and Reflections to your weekly schedule? If you have story ideas or topics of discussion, contact James Deshaies at 407-394-9819 or email djames82@aol.com.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
Hello, everyone. This is your host, James T. Deshaies of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, we have been on the same story, some of the same stories over and over and over again, and it just seems like we can't get away from one unarmed police shooting before the next one has come up. I just want to tell you that the Officer Shelby has been indicted for manslaughter in the first degree, and we look forward to seeing if she is charged and convicted. And people just don't understand. We're not out here, you know, clapping and cheering when officers are charged and convicted, but we do want the right thing to be done. You can't have a person's life not stand for anything. It has to have value. And what is hurting so many Americans across the United States is the thought that our young men, women, our brothers and sisters, our aunts and uncles' lives don't have value. And they have value to us because when you lose someone you love, it hurts. And so it's important that people understand that African Americans are not cheering when someone gets charged from the standpoint of we are happy to hear someone who may have lived a long life not being a criminal, and they make a mistake or they make an error, then they get prosecuted. But that has to be what happens when you're talking about a life is on the line. When someone loses their life, somebody has to be held accountable. When you get sick and you die, we understand you're leaving because of sickness. We can't understand that you leave this world because your car broke down and the wrong person, the wrong officer happened to come by, and instead of rendering you aid, they kill you because you don't follow their instructions. The death penalty cannot be given out because a person does not follow instructions. And see, I argue, and I'm at odds with people who suggest if you do what police officers say, then you won't find yourself shot. Well, the problem with that is everybody doesn't listen or follow rules. And even if you don't listen and you don't follow rules, the end result should not be a bullet when you have not done anything to be shot for. Okay, that's the reason why you have different levels of to address individuals. When a person is one level, you don't shoot up to the highest level, which is using your weapon. And so it's important that we understand as a society that we're going to hold people accountable for their misbehaviors. And in this situation, this man's hands were up. She should not have fired her weapon. It was not a situation where her life was in danger. She was there with four other officers. So they had more than enough officers there to help her in her situation. And she chose, for whatever reason, to fire her weapon when there was no other weapon around. He didn't have a weapon. He didn't go for a weapon. The man had his hands up, and she should have addressed him as a citizen who needed her assistance and not as a criminal that she needed to fear. And so that's why we have ourselves in this situation where she is being held accountable. And hopefully she, you know, she will get time and understand this is a message that needs to be sent to multiple individuals, not just to her, not just in this situation, but the message needs to be sent across the nation that you can no longer take the lives of people unnecessarily. You have to have a legitimate reason for pulling out your weapon, and you need to have a legitimate reason for firing your weapon. And it can't just be because you're scared. You have to have a reason. And right now, it looks favorable that when this situation happens, she's being held accountable. And we still got a long ways to go, because sometimes there are people who will file charges but won't seek to win the case. So it's interesting. We had a gentleman who filed the charges, and one of his statements was, well, she's assumed innocent until she's found guilty by a jury or a judge. Well, to me, if you are the prosecutor and you're filing the charges, you filing those charges because you think she did what was stated in the law that suggested those charges needed to be filed. So please I'm trying to question how committed you are to making sure that she goes to jail when you're already questioning whether or not she is guilty or not. Because as a prosecutor, you ought to be feeling she's guilty, and that's why you file the charges. I see Andre is already out there. Andre, did you get the news that this Officer Shelby had been charged with manslaughter in the first degree?
Yes, a friend of mine texted me and informed me of that situation, and I was surprised that that was reached so quickly, especially with so many incidents similar to that we have experienced and haven't gone in that way. So more to see. Again, I'm like you. You know, this is a step and part of a long process. You bring up a very good point with the state attorney. But we had a similar case with the state attorney in the Orlando area with George, well, it was Sanford, but George Zimmerman, if you remember. Afterwards, a lot of people questioned if indeed they did all the efforts necessary in proving the case that really the outcome wasn't what most people thought it would or should have been. I do know that we have a lot of unrest in this country right now. One choice is leading to another, and it's impacting us across the country. Our headquarters is located in Charlotte, and yesterday I was on a conference call, and at the end of the day they just started evacuating the building, just telling employees to leave. It was probably about a quarter to five or so, floor by floor, just to leave. And at that time, it was still a peaceful protest. And so by the time I woke up this morning, and I knew before I went to bed last night of the unrest and the level that had increased, but our company asked, you know, of course, that people not report to work, that work in the Charlotte area. And I say that to say that we see so many occurrences, as you mentioned earlier, over and over and over again. People are getting tired. They're getting frustrated. And, you know, I was just thinking that, you know, we talked about demanding certain steps be taken. Well, sometimes people are taking action in their hands, and that's their form of demanding justice. So, but to answer your question, yes, I did receive that. Very interested to see how it plays out, especially I was not aware of the state attorney already saying, you know, innocent until proven guilty. That's a given. But as you said, it's the attorney general's position to not even file unless they have a case that they feel confident in winning, meaning that the person broke the law or did not act in a proper behavior as far as the procedures were concerned.
And one of the things that people just, you know, I keep wanting to deal with people's perception of whether or not we're cheering that the person, when the person gets charged. I just want them to understand, it's not about being happy that somebody's gotten charged. We just want to know and make sure that across the country that the lives of African Americans are valued to the point that people will be held accountable if they make mistakes. I'm not even, you know, when you're charged with manslaughter, I think manslaughter in the first degree is the right charge because she willfully did something that she should have known was going to put his life in danger. But I don't believe she woke up that morning and planned to kill him. I don't think she had planned that she wanted to kill an African-American for the last 3 or 4 months. So it's not first-degree murder. But what it is you just did not use common sense. You did not use your thought pattern was such that you went from 0 to 100 without questioning yourself in regard to how you were acting to this man's behavior. This man's behavior did not warrant you feeling so in fear of your life that you deserved to shoot him. You had 4 other officers with you. The man's hands were in the air. He was trying to comply, and his call was just disabled. So those are the things that are holding you accountable. And when a person's life is ended, somebody needs to pay.
Well, you said a very key point. It's the degree in which they're going after, because that could also be a setup. Because if you overreach, if you try to, you know, get something like to say, if indeed she had intended to or purposely and manipulated and schemed to do that, that's one level. But without, you know, making a mistake and it wrongfully as it is, but it depends on, like I say, if that state attorney's reached too far, and then they can't prove it because the jury have to actually, if it goes to a jury, the jury has to go by what the rules and regulations are aligned with that level of punishment. And that's a lot of times how people get off. And that's one of the ways in which Zimmerman was able to get off.
Yeah, and so we, you know, it's just that I want them to be held accountable. I think at the minimum she should be fired because she doesn't have the aptitude to be a officer because she doesn't have the restraint and to be an officer. And so at a minimum she should lose her job. But also a person's life has been lost, so therefore we need there to be some accountability. And so that's what this is. We're 15 minutes into the show. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come right back to talk about this officer who's being charged and about the Charlotte case that's just taken place, because I have some things to say about the chief of police who happens to be an African-American as well, and some of the things that I feel about what I heard him, some of the statements he made. So we're going to come right back after this break, and we're going to continue our conversation.
Farmers, help your children and don't let them fall by the side of the road. And teach them love one another, that heaven might find a place in their
their heart. Jesus is love. He won't let you down. And I know we've got to walk on, walk on through temptation, 'cause His love and His wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth and His word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts to be thankful and glad that Jesus is love.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. I want to make sure that you go by my website and let me know what you think. You want to go by www.jamestdeshaies.com and let me know what you think about my website. We're going to go on and reach out here to Regina and see what she is thinking about this new news that this Officer Shelby in Oklahoma has been charged. Regina, what are your thoughts about the officer being charged with manslaughter in the first degree?
Well, I was happy to hear that the charges did come and that they did come quickly. I'm just hoping that this is not some sort of ploy to say that, well, we did charge him. And depending on who the jury is, if it's a jury of her peers, and because Oklahoma may not have a high voter rate or a high rate of people to be on that jury, she still may get off. So I'm glad that they charged her, but I'm concerned about the proceeding.
Well, that's one of the things we said, because the state attorney who charged her made this statement about she is assumed innocent until the judge has made a decision. But my thought is, as a state attorney, you should not be pressing charges unless you believe she's guilty. So when state attorneys do this, I don't want them to be, charging people to appease African Americans. They should be charging people because they truly believe in their heart that they're guilty, and they're going to do everything they have to do in order to get a conviction. Because if you're going to walk in there and cheat and just do a lousy job, then you're not attempting to try to really convict her. You're just trying to appease the black community. We know what that was
exactly.
Like in Baltimore, where you had all those people marched in front of the judge, and he was not willing or committed to finding them guilty. So that was just done to appease us as a race, that they did at least get charged, and that's not what we want. When a person loses their life, they need another individual who took that life needs to be held accountable. So, Regina, what are your thoughts in regards to Charlotte now?
Well, Charlotte is an ever-evolving situation. I just heard where it is now being said that it is not definitive that he had a gun in his hand, whereas in the beginning they were saying that while folks said he had a book, he actually had a gun. Now the officials there are saying that that's not a definitive statement. So, and yet they're still not showing the video. And his family is wanting to see the video. They said they were going to show it to the family. So this will be day three of the protest. I don't agree with the rioting in your own neighborhood that they're tearing up, or in central downtown Charlotte. And yes, it is where a lot of African Americans work, but it's not in their neighborhood. He has some people here, some family members here in Columbia, and they revealed that he'd been in an accident, a motorcycle accident, and had actually broken both of his hips last year. So it was very hard for him to get out of a car. And that negates the fact that they said he jumped out of the car with a gun. So there are a lot, like I said, it's ever evolving, and we'll just have to see what happens. But
well,
this is
tell
a
you,
family.
You touched on it. You touched on it, and I was going to say something during the show about it, was that the police officer, chief of police, had come out and said there was a weapon involved, and now he kind of stepped back from that and said that you can't clearly see from the video that there was a weapon pointed at people, but because of his overall knowledge of the event, that he was led to believe that it happened the way his police officer said, and they were under threat of a weapon. So already he's trying to make it a lot more cloudy than it was when he originally made the statement about there was a weapon involved, and a weapon his officers felt threatened and compelled to do the shooting. And so, see, it is just that's one of the reasons why we need to see for ourselves, is because he's already backed off what he originally said yesterday.
Right, he has, and as I was saying, he has a family, and I haven't seen the video, but I just left a meeting, and they were saying that his family has said, and I really need to go see it before I repeat it, but something saying, yes, you go around shooting all these other black folk, but you've messed with the wrong family now. And I believe that he does have some very high-powered figures in his family who are not going to just sit still and let it rest.
All right. Well, you know, it's important that we are not his blood family, but we have to stand up for each and other, every person, because the next one will be in our family. So if we don't make the necessary step or take the necessary steps to make sure that this doesn't happen again, then these people will be a member of our family or a member of our social group. So we have to put an end to this. We have a few more people on the line, and let's go out and reach out to those individuals and see if they'd like to say something. 4337, would you like to give your opinion about the situation in Oklahoma or in Charlotte? What are your thoughts regarding what this epidemic of African Americans being shot, unarmed individuals being shot?
I personally think we collectively as a group don't need to be doing a whole bunch of marching. We've been marching since I don't know when, and that hasn't changed. I think we need to get our dollars together. Because, you know, I'm a firm believer that when we talk about our belief system and Christ and this, that, and other, white folks don't have no concept of Christ when it comes to money, race, and things like that. So, you know, we'll sit around and pray and sing Kumbaya, but them people in South Carolina, what was it, Charleston, South Carolina? This guy, when he shot somebody, they take him to Burger King. Yeah, Charleston,
right.
I think it was.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, so when we think about money, politics, and race.
We got a meal at Burger King. Yeah, you're right.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, when we think in terms of it, the dude, Clive and Bundy, when he was arguing with the government over some cows, you had white people out there with military-style weapons pointing at the FBI. Now, if they were black, we'd be counting bodies right now.
So, you know, we have to understand that they are not trying to be fair. So we need to stop asking them to be fair. The only thing they understand is when you take your dollars away from them, you know, black people, if you aggregate all of our income, it's $1.3 trillion. We would be ranked the ninth largest country in the world. So I don't want to take it away from the injurious things that keep happening to us, but until we understand the rules of the game, they're not going to change. So what we normally find is, you know, they'll white folks will bring up Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. They're not even relevant to black people. But what they do is they put those people out there to calm us down, and then a couple weeks later, all the rioting's gone, all this, that, and other. I don't agree with tearing up all our stuff. But what I will say is we have to be accountable for each other, and being accountable for each other, once you know somebody care for you, then the cops won't be so apt to do it. So the problem was with the guy out of Oklahoma
that's
was
the whole point. Somebody has to pay. You're right. Somebody has to pay.
Yeah.
Somebody has to lose something in order that other people don't think it's something they can do. And that's the point.
Yeah.
It's not because I want her to go to jail. She needs to go to jail. So other officers recognize that killing black people for the wrong reasons would mean you lose your job and your family and you'll go to jail. That's the price.
We have to, we have to understand that black people have never gotten anything at the expense or the exclusion of anyone else. And if you want to talk about affirmative action, slavery was affirmative action. Jim Crow was affirmative action. And white folks always have a plan for us. When slavery ended, you know, they had vagrancy laws, you had Jim Crow, and after all that, they come up with the prison industrial system. So where we're doing or dealing with the current things, they're already proactive moving on to other things. So they're prepared for us, and we're not prepared for them. Think about this. If they shut our water off at our house, what are we going to do? We don't hunt. We don't do nothing. So we are not creating anything. So they feel like, hey, you need us. We don't need you. You know, they need us to fill a football stadium. And that goes back to the guy Colin Kaepernick. You know, he's mixed. But for him to grow up and see things through the eyes of a black person, that's powerful. And that upsets white people. The first thing they want to say is, well, blacks won't do this. No, man, deal with the issue. Somebody was killed. So, you know, you can't say that this small group of people that only make up 11 to 13% of the population, all the bad in the pie is in that area. So when we look at it, we got to start teaching our children, training them about what to see. I have a 13-year-old daughter, and I tell her every day, whether it's about a guy, you know, trying to talk to her, or about racism in her class. And we like to think, I don't want to expose my kid to that. Well, then your kid gets exposed to it. You've never said anything. They think that's the norm. We have to start training our youth to be prepared for this so that when this situation come up, they know how to react.
And another thing is that one thing I recognize is in Charlotte, some things are going to happen because, you know, I got this thought. For every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction. You cannot expect for all people to be peaceful when you violently took the life of another person, but you don't want no violence. You know what I'm saying? It's amazing to me that white America does something violent, but then they don't want no violence in repercussion. And that you can't that can't happen. There are going to always be people who are going to want to match that. We had Martin Luther King, but we also had Malcolm X. You had the Black Panthers. So you got to understand you're going to create other organizations that are going to want to match your violence because you perpetrated violence. So you can't perpetrate violence and then say you want peace. It don't work that way.
You know, we have to consider, too, this country was founded from them going to Africa. They went in with missionaries, said, hey, they bring in God. And when they brought the missionaries, then they brought in their merchants to take out all the resources. And then the last thing is the military. So we can get bad and say we want to fight the cops. But what they do, they bring in all this military-style stuff, and we ain't prepared for it. So until we get to a point where we say we're going to learn about us, we're going to prepare us, meaning if it came to a point where the military comes to our neighborhood, I'm not saying that we're going to have the resources to fight them. But if they say, we're going to shut your water off, we're going to close down the grocery store in your area, we need to be prepared for that. Now, we laugh and joke about them rednecks going out there in the woods, But redneck will tell you, you put me in the woods, I can survive. You take somebody that's black.
All right.
Stop this hood.
We got to take another break, and I appreciate you calling in. You had some wonderful ideas, and I want you you're a first-time caller, aren't you?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Don't let it be the last time. We're going to come back and return and continue the show. But we want you people to just know we have opinions, and we want to be heard loud and clear. And on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is a place where your voice can always be heard.
Loving you is easy because you're beautiful. Making love with you is all I want to do. Loving you come true, and everything that I do is out of love and you. La 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 la.
Kind of disappointed that, you know, I never would think, I mean, I listen to the news, but I never would dream that it would happen in my hometown. I was born and raised in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and not only that, Terrence was my cousin, and I'm just sad. It makes me sick at the stomach, don't want to go to work, you know. I'm ashamed to be an officer because I just never would dream that this would be going on every day in our lifetime. And I have two boys that are in Oklahoma that is pretty much almost the same ages as Terrence, but I guess we just have to pray every day, and I don't know.
It is amazing to me that people don't see this as an epidemic. You know, I think African Americans see that it's out of control, but white America does not see that we have a reason to be upset and angry. We have a reason to be fearful because of what continues to happen on such a regular basis.
Yeah. But it seemed to me that, it's getting worse. It's not getting better. It's not getting better at all.
You're so right. I think we're going to have to make a decision to move things to a higher level and make sure that we keep it on the front line and make sure people fully understand that we're just not going to walk away, that we're serious about making sure that we get policed correctly and not in a biased format. We got some other callers out here. I'm going to try to get everybody's opinion on this. 9614, give us your name and where you're calling from, and what are your thoughts related to the Charlotte incident and the Oklahoma incident? Are you there? All right. Okay, we're going to go back and see if, Audrey, you've heard a lot of things right now. What are your thoughts related to what that gentleman was talking about African-Americans getting prepared for, the issues when things get even worse? Is there some kind of preparedness you need to be thinking about?
It's really past time for preparedness. And we do have to be prepared to be self-sustaining. And, our economy is set up and designed that we try to get a lot of needs, a lot of our wants. But in essence, we have to really learn how to go back to the basic. If we remember our forefathers, they had their gardens and they worked their land and they had ownership of property. And he's exactly right. If indeed things get to the point where society is controlled by the upper class and they want to really stop you from having use of things in which we think create an easier way of life, we have to be prepared. And we've been told over and over again that the best way to maintain is to make sure that you're not indebted to others. So we have to make sure that we have funds. We have to make sure that we're able to sustain ourselves with basics, which is food, clothing, water, and housing. Those are the fundamentals. And until we really start looking at what's important in our life, we're going to be at the hand of others, and we don't need that. So the gentleman is absolutely correct in my opinion.
Regina, what do you think we could do economically to have an impact on society to say we're not going to tolerate this anymore? They tell us they don't want us to show violence. They don't want, we're marching in the street. But what could we do, like the gentleman talked about, economics? How could we take our money out of the system, out of the market, to show that we're not going to tolerate being mistreated?
Well, first I'd like to give my condolences to the caller that called in and who said that the young man in Oklahoma was her cousin. The other thing is we've been saying that this is what we needed to do. We needed to support African American businesses and create a culture where we are self-sustaining as a people. But it's all just been rhetoric. So really and truly, to be very bluntly honest, I think we're at the mercy of the powers to be. And it shows as the rioters are expressing their frustration. They feel as though they have no hope. And I understand the biblical aspect of having hope. As long as you have faith and prayer, then you have hope. But the everyday living, if they don't understand that, then they really don't have much of a future. And so that's why they're frustrated. So we're not doing what we said we were going to do to be self-sustaining as a people. And when I say we, I'm including myself in that.
Like wearing nothing at all. No bench, no
stink. Yeah, it's hard to decide if you would attack economically to show your frustration. You know, it's hard to say you just not going to spend your money, but it would be difficult to just determine who it is you boycott or who don't you support to make sure that people fully understood who you were talking about. You know, if an incident took place in Walmart and we say, okay, we're no longer going to spend our money with Walmart, but who do we hold accountable? Because you can't not pay your taxes. You can't hold the city accountable and say let's not pay taxes because they'll come in and take your property. So who do we hold accountable in this instance? Let's go back to 4337. You know, you talked about how much money we have. Who could we hold accountable in this instance to make sure they were fully aware of what we felt?
We have to hold ourselves accountable because, you know, back during the 1800s, the Dred Scott, the white guy, I can't remember who said it specifically, he said, but a black man don't have no right that any white man is beholden to observe. So if we keep thinking that we're going to hold them accountable, if that's true, we could have stopped white folks from shooting us up, but it ain't. Because there is nothing that's going to stop them. In their psyche, they're doing the right thing, and then they justify it. So when we talk about an economic standpoint, what we do is, you know, I just saw on TV yesterday the woman Elizabeth Warren holding the CEO of Wells Fargo accountable for firing the low-income people, $15 an hour people, and he's still getting all his bonuses. She said, that's a shame. Why don't you fire yourself? Are you still getting paid? And he made $19 million. And that's near and dear to me because I used to work at Wachovia for about 3 or 4 years, and they pressured you to – come up with new accounts, and I saw people doing that same thing 10 years ago. So what we do is you don't have – we create co-ops for ourselves, meaning if there is a CEO, he can't make no more than 3 times the highest paid person. Instead of having shareholders, you have people who own the company themselves who have a stake in it, and if they perform, they get paid. So when we create economies of scale for ourselves, then we hold ourselves accountable, and we don't have to wait for the government to come in and give us this, that, and other. But know this, white folks never had a problem with government when they was helping the Irish and all them people get through the Great Depression. If big government is helping them, they fine. And we have to know and understand, anybody that's working for federal, state, or local government, 80% or 70% of black people, that's where we work. Because in the private industry, like in the South, it's a right to work state. Florida can fire you in a minute, and you have no recourse. So they know the majority of black people are working for these entities. That's why they always talk about downsizing. If it was all white folks working for them, they wouldn't have no problem. And if you look at that woman, Kim Davis, talking about she don't want to marry gay people, well, she was married and divorced 3 times. And one of the men that she got pregnant from, you know, wouldn't marry her. And I'm saying to myself, she's talking about her religious principle. If it's your religious principle, quit, because you knew when you went in there, you got to follow the rules. She talking about she loyal to her principal. No, she loyal to that $80,000 paycheck. But what she has to understand is gay people pay her salary too. It's like when people tell us we all on welfare, black people. Man, black people pay taxes just like anybody else. And again, we never get anything at the exclusion of anybody else. I grew up in Tallahassee, and white folks can go to fam as a minority. Now, how you 65 to 70% of the population, and you get to be counted as a minority at a black school? And you'll never hear black people saying, you getting in there instead of us, but let me make all A's in high school and be recruited by Harvard. Now, you know, I'm a set aside. You got in because you black. Man, get out of here. We don't get nothing at excluding anybody else. When we look at the minority women business entities, you guess who get that? White women. You look at the face of welfare, young, white, and female, but they never tell us that, and we're not informed enough. We sit there and look stupid when people say stuff to us. We can't challenge it. It's no different than, you know, your preacher reading the Bible to you and you never open it. He can tell you whatever he wants. You got to do it for yourself. So when we talk about the economic side of it, we have to say, what can I contribute? What can I bring to the table? Who can I teach and train? And what you know is great that you have this radio show, because it's pricking the consciousness. It's giving people like us an opportunity to say, hey, you know what? I don't agree with this, or I agree with that. But until we come together and have some conscious decisions of who we are and understand our history, because history is the greatest thing that can reward us for who we are, where we come from. White folks agree on what their history is. It ain't got to be right, but they all just agree. And they agree on it and say, hey, this
You're
is what
so
happened.
Right. We're going to take another break, the final break of this show, and then we're going to come back and finish up the show. And we got some good things going on and talking. And I like it when people come on and share their thoughts, and they know what they're talking about, and it comes from the heart. And that's what's happening today. We'll be right back after this break. Consequences. You've got to lose your job at a minimum. You cannot continue to work as a police officer if you're so afraid to do your job that you get skittish and you shoot unarmed people? That's the price you have to pay. So you need to understand, it's not that we're out after your throat. We just want the right thing to happen. Good people sometimes end up in jail because they make mistakes. So therefore, when you make a mistake, you got to recognize that you got to pay the consequences. Regina, we are under 10 minutes. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes, and then we're going to move on to some other people. But give me what are your last thoughts in these 2 minutes.
This has been a phenomenal show. I'm in total agreement with everything that everyone is saying. Let's just keep it safe and speak it as though it were Hillary Clinton, President Hillary Clinton, 2017.
All right, all right. Audrey, what are your final thoughts today? Audrey, are you still there with us? All right. I want to just say to you all, listen, okay, let me go to 9454. Do you have any final thoughts you'd like to express today?
I would agree with the caller. Let's try to get out there and vote Hillary, Clinton, and let's make sure that we all have signed up to vote. I think it's certain counties, there's a deadline. So just know your deadline.
You are so right. I tell you what, it is. This has to be one of the high moments in terms of debating. I just hope that Hillary is ready and prepared to just take it to Donald Trump and really show what you know, her overall knowledge of what's going on. New caller 4337. What are your thoughts about Hillary Clinton and this election period?
I think we need to hold her accountable as well. You know, it's kind of like the politician coming into your church on Sunday asking for something and don't bring anything in. So I think she is definitely better than Donald Trump, but we got to hold her feet to the fire as well. And we have to be prepared that another 2000 don't happen. What I mean by that, in Florida, the race was won by 537 votes, but they took 58,000 votes off the roll. And if you had a common name and somebody in another state had that common name, they could take your name off. So we need to be proactive right now, checking the voter rolls and make sure that we're active, because if not, you go there on the day of the election, they give you a provisional ballot that may not ever even be counted. And, you know, most white people don't complain about that because they don't have that problem. So out of that 58,000, 44% were black. That means 25,000 black people were wiped off the roll in 2000. And we know, let's say 90% of people, well, let's just say 80. So 80% of 25,000, that's 15,000 votes that would have went to Al Gore and he would have won, and the race was only won by 537 votes. So we have to be prepared. We have to be proactive. We have to talk to each other and say, hey, you know what, somebody died so that you can vote. And again, when Hillary gets in there, all the stuff that she says, we have to hold her feet to the fire. Don't get in there and say, hey, well, you know, I can't do this because blah, blah, blah. We're giving you 90% of our vote, but what are we getting back for it?
You're right. For everything, you know, we want what we deserve as a result of being there for her, and she needs to be held accountable. And we need to be participating all year, every year. You know, you can't wait till it's time to vote to participate. We got to be out there participating, having our voices heard, letting the politicians know what we're thinking, so they don't have no excuse about whether or not they know what the opinions are of African Americans. You know, so often the reason why I like my show and I want to be here and I'm happy to be here is because I got tired of people telling me, yeah, this is what this percentage of African Americans thinking, or this is what you know, this is what the American people are thinking. And I'm thinking, hey, ain't nobody called me and asked me what I'm thinking. So right now, thoughts, love, and reflection is where you can call in and tell us what you're thinking, and you don't have to worry about being wiped away because you're not thinking the right thing. We want everybody to know that we don't all think the same, but we all deserve for our thoughts to be respected.
and your thoughts are going to be respected on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. All right, we're coming to another end of the show, and I want to thank all of you who are out there supporting the show. I want you to remember to go to www.jamestdeshay.com. Look at my website, and I want you to be ready and prepared to write me at djames82@aol.com. Call me at 407-394-9819. Let me know what you're thinking. Let me know what your thoughts are about topics for the next show. It has been great, and you all have been a great voice, and we're going to continue to be the greatest voice we can be. We will see you tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Take care, everybody, and just know that your voice can always be heard loud and clear on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection.
Great show, man.
Take care now.
All right.
Thank you.